Hallelujah. If you have your Bibles, open them up to 1 Corinthians chapter 15. You know, it seems like the more you grow in the understanding of the things of the Lord, there's an understanding that gets real clear in you that to try and convey spiritual truths or insights to the natural mind can be very difficult. This morning, I want to do my best to clarify the understanding of the purpose of resurrection. Resurrection is not something that is very simple to explain. But yet, once it's understood, it's very simple. But even the early church had a hard time with resurrection or understanding resurrection. And of course it would be the Corinthian church. Because the Corinthian church, its culture, was made up of such, mostly of Greek mythology. It played a major role there. Not only the history of Judaism, but also Greek mythology. And the Corinthian church, made up mostly of Greeks, had a real struggle with the fact that after they had received Christ, why would they have a resurrected body? Because they were so familiar with the operation of sin in their life. And they had this understanding, and when a person died, rather than getting a resurrected, glorified body, or they were resurrected to life, they went through the thought that man would go through endless eternity with just a mind. He would cross the Elysian fields, a river of Styx, and go off into eternity as a mind. Well, we know that Greek mythology sometimes makes no sense at all. And so they had this understanding. And so along comes somebody that talks about resurrection, that establishes a church, and we're going to resurrect to newness of life. We're going to get a glorified body. And all of a sudden, the word body became a very strong issue. And so many began to preach that there was no such thing as a resurrection. Well, it's because they didn't understand the purpose of resurrection. And sadly to say today, the church as a whole has been very ignorant of the reason for Christianity and the understanding of why a babe was given in a manger and why there's such a thing as resurrection. And so let's read Paul's argument on resurrection in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, starting at verse 13. He, Paul, the apostle himself, is challenging the Corinthian church on the issues of resurrection. He says, "But if there be no resurrection," verse 13, "of the dead, then Christ is not risen. And if Christ is not risen, then our preaching is vain, and your faith is also vain. Yes, we are found false witnesses of God, because we have testified of God that He raised up Christ, whom He did not raise up, if in fact the dead do not rise. For if the dead do not rise, then Christ is not risen. And if Christ is not risen, your faith is futile. You are still in your sins. Then also those who have fallen asleep in Christ have perished. If in this life only we have hope in Christ, we are of all men the most pitiful. But now Christ is risen from the dead and has become the first fruits of those who have fallen asleep. For since by man came death, by man also came the resurrection of the dead. Of his own order, Christ the first fruits, then afterwards those who our Christ at his coming. Then comes the end when he delivers the kingdom of God to God the Father, when he puts all end to all rule and all authority and power. For he must reign till he has put all enemies under his feet. The last enemy that will be destroyed is death. Then go over to verse 29. Otherwise, what will they do who are baptized for the dead, if the dead do not rise at all? Why then are they baptized for the dead? Now this verse needs to be explained because of the way it's worded. But he comes up with this conclusion, then why do we give witness to a burial of death, putting to death this body in water? And those that already died in Christ, if none of it pertains to a resurrection, to a glorification of body and soul and spirit, then what good is it for them? If they don't rise, what is the purpose of resurrection? Well, many of us do not understand why Jesus was even given as a babe in the manger. Matter of fact, if you will, turn over to Luke chapter 2. And we're going to, as clear as I can possibly explain it to you, we're going to talk about the purpose of resurrection. Why even be involved with it if nobody understands it? Now, contrary to what we've been taught, resurrection is not a religious holiday called Easter. Contrary to what people, the church has made it understandable to society, is that Easter is an important day for the church. Easter is not an important day for the church. Easter is an important day for all of mankind. All walks of life, all societies. Now, we have been taught that seeing how it's a good thing that we all come to church on Easter morning. Well, you know something? That benefits us. But listen, it doesn't benefit the unbeliever that's out there in the highways and byways if resurrection or Easter is not understood by the purpose of it. Now, the church in the last few years has gone into what we call church socialism. This is where men are even being converted and brought into the churches by large numbers, but not according to knowledge, not according to the purpose of what Christianity is really all about. We've gotten into a place called glorification of men for the purpose of winning people to Christ, but not concerned about the real purpose of why we're bringing people into the kingdom of God. Is it to induct them into another church society? Or is it to induct them into a kingdom that is not of this world? Are you following what I'm saying? You see, resurrection, the resurrection power of the Lord Jesus Christ, is man's greatest answer to all their woes that society, this natural world, has plagued them with from eons and eons of years. You see, when I went into Luke chapter 2 and I talked about this babe appearing in a manger, and it, right away it said in one place here that I never understood for a long time. I understand it now. But he said that the purpose of this little child born in the manger was that we have peace and goodwill towards man, towards the will, towards all mankind. That's where we find, and this will be a sign to you. You will find a babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. And suddenly there was with the angels a multitude of the heavenly hosts, praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace and goodwill towards men. And I got to thinking when I was first saved, well, if there's peace and goodwill towards man for the purpose of Jesus coming and dying, he was birthed in that manger for the purpose of dying and resurrection of life, why is not society more in that realm of peace and goodwill towards men? Well, he was referring to what God was doing in his Son that was giving, so that God would not no longer look to men to bring men to judgment, but to look to men for men to have an answer from judgment. But the church society has done its wonderful job of perverting the love of Christ to a dying and sick world. And that is the fact that God doesn't create calamity to cause men to turn to Him. It's the goodness of God in His Son that causes men to turn to Him. Glory to God. It is the goodness of God that leads men to change, not Katrina's. Are you following what I'm saying? So what is the purpose of resurrection? Because I'm going to tell you just like what Paul said. If there be no resurrection, then you're left to your own sins. And see, people don't understand that. You know, being out in this working world, when they find out you're a believer, they're going to challenge you. Especially those of you that are committed to God. They're going to challenge you. They're going to say things that now I have a very difficult time explaining it to them, but I found out that sometimes you just don't need to try and explain anything. Just give what God gives you to give to them and let them work it out in themselves. Amen. I just recently been asked this question. Well, so, Pastor Jan, then I'm going to ask you a question. Let me... and I want an answer. I sin. Now, he's talking from church history. He says, so therefore, I'm going to go to hell. And would you not think that that would be a difficult answer to give them? Because, number one, he admitted of sin. Number two, he wanted me to bring him to judgment because of that. I looked to him and I said, boy, Lord, I don't know how to answer this one without going into a long sermon that he wouldn't understand. Then the Lord said, give him what you know. And let him work out the details. And I says, well, sin doesn't send a sinner to hell. It's a nature that produces sin that sends a person to hell. You know what he did? He looked at me like a cow at a new gate. Do you know what I mean by that? You know, a cow will go down this path, and if it's never had a gate there before, you put a gate there, and he'll go down that path, and he'll sit there, and he'll look for hours at that gate. Should not be here. Why is this gate here? It was never here before. You know. And he come back to me, he says, you're messing with my mind. I says, well, what do you mean? I'm messing with your mind. He says, I admitted to you that I sin. And I ask you point blank, will they send me to hell? Will that send me to hell? And I said, well, then what did I say to you? He said, it's the nature that a man walks in that causes him to sin. Thereby, you are saying I have the nature of a sinner. I said, you said it, not me. He said, so am I going to hell? He outright asked, so am I going to hell? I said, I have no idea. That's in your hands, not mine. And he looked at me and says, well, what kind of answer is that? And I said, well, have you quit breathing? And he had to walk away from me. And he was doing his thing. And finally he came back. Wait a minute. What do you mean I haven't quit breathing? And I says, well, I says, your life is not over, or it's not declared a destiny of finality until you quit breathing. It's out of your hands. But right now, it's in your hands where you want to go. It's not in my hands to judge you. It's not nobody's hands. It's in your hands to judge yourself before God. Boy, he was so hot at me because I couldn't pin him against, he couldn't pin me against the wall and judge him. He says, oh, you're good. Oh, you're good. And he walked off. But you know what? That is what the church has told the non-believer for years. Sin is going to take him to hell. Not understanding what Easter and resurrection really is all about. If he was the first fruits of what resurrection is about, then anyone that's born of God after that is fruit number two, fruit number three, fruit number four, whatever number you come in with. And God knows that number. Now, why was it so important that Jesus be resurrected from the dead? To save us from our sins? That's how we look at it, to save us from our sin. Well, I sinned even after I got saved. Now, none of you probably had that problem. But what is resurrection all about? Well, I got news for you. Jesus suffered the penalty of physical death. He suffered the spiritual separation of God, predicated on the legalities that Satan held over mankind to keep them separated eternally from God. And a society that is separated from God cannot last. Now, in spite of what our society has come up with as far as songs are concerned, I got news for this society. If it's apart from God, it will not survive. Well, then how can you make that bold statement? Well, we've had some of the greatest natural men on earth sing songs like, imagine there is no heaven. Imagine there is no hell. I got news, you can imagine that all you want. But what he is singing is he's singing a song, really what we as mankind need is to be left to ourselves. That's really what that song is about. Mankind needs to be left alone. It doesn't need to be governed by some religious thing. And it doesn't need to be governed by some hellish thing. It needs to be governed by what it is, apart from all this. Well, let's go and take a look of a society that wants to remain apart from what God is. Turn over to Romans chapter 3. Told you it's very difficult to explain what resurrection is all about, but I'm going to do my best today. In Romans chapter 3, Paul gives us some information. Number one, the Jew thought he was so exceptional because he had a perfect place with God on earth. We are God's chosen. Anything outside of a Jew is just dogs to society. Well, you know, when God cut that covenant with Abraham, God was interested in having family, not church. God was interested in having children after him. Well, you know who else wanted children? A little guy by the name of Abraham. He said, I want kids. I want to leave an inheritance to planet Earth. Well, God said, hey, I'm in the same boat he is. So if I hook up with him, I'll give him what he needs and he can give me what I need. Amen. Family. Did you know that when God hooked up with Abraham and Abraham responded to God by faith, did you know that they did not have denominations in mind? They didn't have Easter Sunday where you could go to church once a year to do God a favor because Easter is Easter. Amen. Hey, you know why I'm pastoring this church? Has anybody ever thought why? Because I'm looking to ministry and I want to preach sermons from a pulpit and I insist on answering my call. That's why I'm here. Well, if that's the case, you guys ought to get up and adios out of here. The purpose of me answering the call was simply predicated on the basis that God got into my heart in such a way that I qualified for Him to call me. And once I've been called, now I'm serving you unprofitably. I'm serving you to see to it that the Word of God and your fellowship with the Lord changes your life. And as a result of that, then you enter in to what I consider ministry. And some of the people I have the greatest hope in and the hardest on. Because I look for an inward change in the Word of God having an effect in their life and their prayer life. When you see that, you see stability, then you qualify. Are you following me? But you know what that requires, people? It requires a change of nature.
Yes.
It requires a change of nature. You know, everything, especially in the animal world, the kingdom of this natural world, does what it does by nature.
Right.
Did you know that? Ducks are ducks.
Yeah.
A rooster is a rooster.
Yeah.
Some people don't even, today we're living in a society, people don't understand even what the purpose of a rooster is. I didn't know what the purpose of a rooster is until I found out why. You know, have you ever wondered what alligators, what is the purpose of an alligator? Neat luggage. Have you ever wondered that stuff? You know, why some of these animals? You know? Well, I got news for you. The purpose of anything that exists was by nature, but not the intended nature that was. For when God created the animal kingdom and created mankind, there was a nature that would stabilize not only the animal kingdom, but would also stabilize society. And in order for God to do that, He had to put man in a position where he could be born of God. Are you following me? And so He started out with a prototype. His name was Adam. And He started out with Adam being created perfectly. Spiritually, soulishly, and physically. Now, before the fall, Adam was in divine favor and perfect fellowship with the Lord until he meddled around with reasoning. That's what that tree was made up of. The operation of good and evil working in a person's life that God didn't want there. Because that tree was made up of both, the knowledge of good and evil. And the only way that you're ever going to get a hold of that thing is you've got to have the nature of God, the life of God on the inside of you, giving you a checkmate against that which is good and evil. That is all in one tree. And that is what has happened to our church today in the society. They talk about what is good, but operate in that is evil. And that's what we call hypocrisy. And God hates religion. But God loves a man to understand nature. So somebody has asked me, what caused you to quit sinning? Which would be a miracle nowadays, because the church doesn't look any different than the unbeliever. But if somebody came up and asked me, what caused you to quit sinning? I would turn to him and say, the new nature that I inherited compels me not to do that. You know what that does to their thinking? Tilt. You want to know why? Because the church had capitalized on you cannot be considered righteous in the eyes of God until you quit sinning. God is saying, I want you to get into the new nature that I've given you, develop it and growing it so you voluntarily quit sinning. It's a nature not to sin when you get born again. It's a nature not to transgress when you get born again. We got this argument. Well, the Ten Commandments, they're done away with. Then we got the other side saying, no, they're not done away with. God's saying, listen, you have this new birth. You have this new nature on the inside of you. And the new nature will, whether the Ten Commandments have been done away with or not, the new nature will compel you to fulfill the law by nature. Not by a law.
Right.
Have you ever noticed little kids? You strap law on them. You know what they do? They want to violate it every time.
Oh, yeah.
Little kids, you go to them and say, no, no, no. No, no, you've had enough. I've administered law to them. You want to know why? Because their little nature is to have what they want. Now, you've had enough sugar. You're bouncing off the walls now. Don't do that. Well, they don't think, I'm hyped up. I'm full of speed because of all the sugar I took. We have that understanding. They don't. So you know what causes them to do the minute you put law on them? They violate it. Why? Because it's their nature to go for the sugar. Now, in Romans 3, verse 10 through verse 18 is a very interesting statement. It talks about the dilemma that society gets into, and then the results of this godless society, and how it began to destroy humanity. So listen, you can imagine all you want to, that there is no heaven. But I don't want to get into that fix to imagine there is no heaven. Because without heaven, I could not survive in society without the nature to change me to do what's right.
Amen.
God proved for 4,000 some years with a Jewish nation that the only way He could administer any control over them was by law. And it made it very difficult with God to go to the extremes of the violation of law until our time period where the spirits of men could be changed and then corrected according to God and then just fulfill that which God required them to fulfill. Let's look at this society that doesn't want God. There is none righteous, no, not one. There is none who understands. There is none who seeks after God. They have all gone out of the way. They have together become unprofitable. There is none who does good, no, not one. And this verse is right here, 10, 11, and 12. Are literally saying this is a society that is literally defined apart from God right here. Number one, there's no one that is righteous, so there's no nature to control them. None understand anything, and none of them seek after God. And all have missed the direction that was good for their life. They never find it, and they've become unprofitable, or literally to poverty. And that is society without God. You could have billions of dollars, people, and if you're not connected to God through the new birth, you're in a poverty state. Now notice the results of a society that's... It would be one thing to just dwell in that state, but here's what that state does to you. Verse 13 to 18 tells you what kind of society, the results of what that society will do if it has no control over it that is godly.
Right.
What will happen to this society? Well, he goes on to say, verse 13 through 18, what will happen to this kind of society? Number one, it says the throat is an open tomb, or literally in the Greek, it's grave. In other words, what they can consume is literally another person's grave or tombstone. They can't give life. Then he says that with their tongues they have practiced deceit. Things become very deceitful. The poison of asp is under their lips. Their lips are as deadly as a poisonous snake. He goes on to say, whose mouth is full of cursings and bitterness. Their feet are swift to shed blood. Destruction and misery are in their ways, and the way of peace they have not known. There is no fear of God before their eyes. That's the result of a society that is not connected to the living God. And you cannot take a society in this world. You can't take this world and bring them to judgment, because it's their nature to sin, without first of all providing a way of escape for them, because they don't understand why they are what they are. Do you get that? If I bring judgment on a brother at the great white throne, and I'm bringing judgment on him because of his sin, then he can turn back and say to me, and he has a legitimate argument with the Father. He can come back and say, all right, so I'm being judged for my sins. Yes. Then what did you expect of me? That's my nature. But when you read your Bible, the great white throne, it says very clearly there, they're not going to be judged for their personal sin. They're going to be judged by the nature they gave themselves over to perform sin. Because it's the works that they've done in the flesh. And then he's going to turn and say, did you believe in my Son to receive the new nature? Or were you born of God? And they say, well, no, I'm not found in the Lamb's Book of Life. He says, well, then, you was not born of my loins. Therefore, your works are not qualifying you to make it on in. You know what qualifies you into heaven? The new birth. What qualifies you not to enter? Not be born again. Because if you're not His, if you're not born of His loins, then you're none of His. Romans 8. Well, then what is the new birth? It's transformation of your inner spiritual being and soul. Now, your soul has to be delivered or saved on a daily basis, but your spirit is a gift given to you of God called the new birth. And this is where God impregnates your spiritual being with His life and nature so that you can understand Him. Because a man that's not born of God cannot know God, neither understand God. But once you become born again, you don't know how you know that you know that you know. You might lack information, but something on the inside of you, deep down on the inside of you, knows that you know that you know that you're born of God. You're His. You belong to Him. But you don't know how to respond to Him. It's a nature thing. It's a nature thing. And God is not going to be filled. He's not going to fill heaven with people that don't want to be there. That don't have His nature. He gave a parable so we would understand. A guy wanted to enter in to heaven. He was found there without a wedding garment. What is the wedding garment? The new birth. You have to be born of God. So what is the purpose of resurrection? I'm going to tell you something. Legally, Jesus went to hell and paid the price for sin, for that which emanates sin. He went there to take a legal punishment that God had to bring to all mankind. He had to judge sin, but he had to judge the nature that produces sin at the same time, and that's found in the spirit of a man. For what things know the things of man, save the spirit or the nature of man? Even so, knoweth no man the things of God but the new birth. He that is born of God has the Spirit of God, the nature of God. Now he can understand the things that are freely given to him of God. That's not referring to the Holy Ghost. It's referring to the new birth. How can you freely give something to the Holy Spirit? No, his job is to educate your spiritual man, comparing spiritual things with spiritual things. And you know something? I love those that are not of the church. I love those that are not born of God. I do love them. You want to know why? Because they are what they are, because it's their nature to be what they are. That doesn't offend me. When I take offense is when the nature of this world wants to force its nature on me against it. Are you following me? Then I have to take an offense and take a stand. I don't partner with them. I don't make covenants with them. What fellowship has light with darkness? Because once I'm born of God, I know what side of the fence I belong on. But it doesn't mean that I'm exempt from understanding the other side of the fence. For then, like Paul said, you must needs leave the world. But what Paul was saying is don't have intimate fellowship with darkness unbalanced, because it will affect you. It will have an effect on you. You have to make a stand in your walk with God. And thank God for resurrection, because legally, every single one of us do not understand the cross. The church is not really getting the full benefit of the cross. We look to the cross and we see Jesus on that cross, but you don't understand. Jesus, yes, he was on the cross, but he stood there as your representative. If you've seen The Passion, if you've seen that movie and you saw what happened to Jesus and how society turned on him and whipped and beat him and all that blood flowing out of him, you've got to realize, people, he was in your place. Amen. Glory to God. He was standing in for you because that's what you deserved. But God said, I'm not going to do that to society. So some person said, oh, that is such a gory movie. Listen, for judgment to fall on your life and everybody else's life is a gory subject. Yes, it is. But you know what God the Father saw on the cross? He not only saw his son on the cross, but his son represented every one of you. And so God saw every one of you on that cross. I loved it when they talked about the Passion, the movie, the ones I was working with. I turned to them and said, have you guys seen it? And they said, yeah. They went home and got the movie, checked it out, and watched it again. And this is what I said. Boy, we all went through a lot, didn't we? They looked at me like I was crazy. They said, what do you mean, we? I said, well, Jesus went through it, but he went through it as a representative of me. He took my place. Well, did he take our place? Yeah, I took your place. Would you think he took the place of Christians? There was none. He took the place of society, all of mankind, everyone. He said, you know something? You're too deep for me. Well, you know, I can't expect him to understand, because it says the natural mind does not understand the things of God. What caused Jesus to go to hell was not his own personal life. He succeeded in his own personal life. Why? Because the only way he could come out of death would be the fact that he succeeded over his own personal life, but he had to take judgment because you and I failed in our life. And so he went to hell. He suffered the pains of death. And then when he came out of the grave to resurrection, to the newness of life, he gave mankind the ability now to receive the same Spirit that caused him to succeed in this natural world. Death couldn't hold him down. You want to know why? Because he never sinned over his personal life. He succeeded. Did you know that every one of you fulfilled the Ten Commandments? Because he did. Did you know that? Well, then why do I do it now? Because his grace is giving you the opportunity to get into what God has made you and then let Christ be formed in you and come out of you in the same success. That is the purpose of resurrection. I'm wore out physically because I want you to understand that if Jesus hadn't come, we'd all been left to a death nature, a society that doesn't even know where it goes or belongs or it wants to be left alone. But it will even destroy itself if it's left alone. The first world with the flood proved that. He ended up with only Noah. And you know what, Noah's family? They weren't even hooked up. But they got the benefits of Noah's righteousness. You understand resurrection. Resurrection is so the Word of God, through grace and mercy, now can become a part of our life by delivering our natural soul, delivering it from this carnal mind so that the spiritual mind can kick in and take over and control our life again so that we don't destroy each other, so that there's not poison on our lips, so that we're not a tomb or a grave to people. Do you understand what I'm talking about? It's a nature that we have inherited. It's a relationship that we have. Now the fellowship is vitally. It's an asset. If you have a relationship and no fellowship, you'll die in your relationship. Because communication is what causes you to bond together. And when that nature is not at work, you are not in peace. You're not happy. You see no way out. But when you're connected to God in the new birth, the Spirit, you know, you come to Mount Zion, people. Hebrews, the book of Hebrews. I understand the book now. It's getting clearer and clearer. When you understand Hebrews chapter 12, you'll understand why they could not be made perfect until we made perfect, because they were in Abraham's bosom. They couldn't go to the third heaven because they hadn't received the new birth. But when Jesus came out of the grave, he brought all those that from the Old Testament with him in the first resurrection. And whosoever believes on him in this earth and dies believing in him can also come to newness of resurrection of life. We'll get a new body. Hallelujah. No, Christ had not died in vain, or I would not have received the nature of God in me. But because I have his nature, I have life eternal. Glory to God. Don't leave me to this society. Don't leave me to a society that has the ability to destroy itself. Give me to a citizenship not of this world, where I can succeed not only now but eternally with God. Glory to God. Resurrection is important. You're darn right it is. Because without resurrection, you have no new birth. And without the new birth, there is no eternal life for you. Glory. Glory to God. Glory to God. John 3 in quitting. John 3. Big John. Big John. John chapter 3. Boy, Jesus tells it all. Wouldn't it be something? Just a hypothetical thought. If the day that I was in that Baptist church, God bless the Baptists, they're soul winners. You know, us word churches, we're too smart. Now, we don't need to save souls. They're just automatically saved because we're so smart. But thank God for the Baptists. They know society without salvation is dumb. And so they keep preaching salvation. But I was sitting in that pew right where you guys are. I was sitting there. And the only reason I went to church is to do Sonny a favor and watch her get baptized. And it was an Easter service, wasn't it, sir? Was that an Easter service? I can't remember. I thought it was an Easter service. No, it was just her baptismal. And that Baptist preacher spit cotton that morning. I mean, he talked about Jesus' walk, death, and resurrection. Before I got halfway through the message, God began to speak to me. And you know how that made me feel? And I'm just going to be honest, all of a sudden I saw all my favorite drinks go by me. Cigarettes too, all the different packs. I wouldn't need that now with the price they are. If I had the habit today, I'd go to poverty. Those suckers are $6 a pack. I remember you could buy a whole carton for that. I quit when they were only 53 cents a pack, and I was screaming at that time. And then I hated the government because whenever they wanted to attack the tax issue, they always nailed me in my habit issue. And I saw this all floating by. And I got up from my seat. And God was speaking to me. And I went down that aisle. And as I went down that aisle, all of a sudden my sweatshirt fell off of me. And this robe of white came on me. And by the time I got to the minister and knelt and asked Jesus to come into my heart and life, all of a sudden, all my old clothes and my shoes all fell off me. And I had beautiful gold-lined sandals slip on my feet. Next thing, I looked at my hands, and I felt like Naaman, whose flesh was all made new. And I reverted back. No, at that time, I would have compelled forward to 33 years of age. All the wrinkles, my hair grew out into complete fullness. And I stood up. And I looked at everybody through the eyes of perfect love. And therefore I knew I was born again. Not? Isn't that what happened to you guys? And you know, from that moment forward, whenever I was challenged in life by tests and trials, I took it with such ease. In such peace. And all my mouth was always saying, Lord, you are so wonderful at all this hell I'm going through. Because in the end, I'll come out all right. Somehow I have a feeling you guys are not believing me. Don't I look 33 years of age? Now, y'all know me. Have I been perfect in everything I said and done? It's time for John to take my place. You know, we don't have service tonight, so you can handle it a few more minutes, right? It's a proven fact that your seat can only endure what your mind can comprehend. Now, let me share this with you very clearly. The reason that Jesus had to come out of the grave is to qualify you to follow the firstborn. Jesus came out of that grave as a benefactor of his whole life. He succeeded, and you got his grade.
Amen.
Now, isn't that weird? Well, it's a gift of God, simply by grace. You certainly didn't earn it because you qualified for it, because it says that even the price that he was willing to pay, you didn't want anything to do with him. He said you were still unlovely towards him. You were still a sinner towards him. And he did it simply because of his love to give you a chance to escape eternal judgment. Somebody said, if I was the only one on the cross, if I was the only one that would accept him from the cross, that would have qualified him to go to the cross. And you know what I call that? A cheap understanding of the spirit and power of the love of God. That is a cheap misrepresentation. God would have went to the cross and made a way for all of society if no one accepted him. There is no price for why he did what he did. He loves humanity. He don't care if he ends up 1 or 20,000. He don't care. It doesn't have a price on it. He went to the cross but no one would have accepted him. Don't be that prideful that you would think you would be the one that would qualify him to go to. Don't you be that prideful. That is pride in the ultimate degree. He went to that cross for you with no payment whether you receive him or not. Because the price for the unbeliever today is still free. No, he went to the cross for everybody. Hell, the Bible says hell was not even prepared for us. It was prepared for the devil and his bunch. I believe in the plan of Adam, he was going to incarcerate that outlaw for eternity, not put society through the hell it's gone through. Well, didn't he know? Even if God knew, he chose for mankind to be their own choosing. That's the love of God. That's why it's so important for you to receive Jesus. Get born again. And then get connected with him in fellowship. Hallelujah. Did you guys get something? Hallelujah. Everybody stand up. Just remember, as we close this service, it is the nature within man that compels him to be what he is. So with every head bowed, every eye closed, this morning, Father, as we close this service, Father, I pray, Father, I even brought out an understanding to people to know the love and the grace and mercy of God, that there is no price in the kingdom of God for man. All he simply asks man to do is to receive him. And then let him change their heart and life. Father, I thank you that Jesus had not died in vain for me. Even though I didn't understand all that salvation had, even though I wasn't what I said I was when I went forward, but Father, to this day, I know what is mine. And I know where I'm going, and I know my destiny is in Jesus. And Father, I want the whole world to be there with me. Myrtle Appling used to sing this song. Just to behold his face. It'll be worth it all just to behold his face. You see, I'm excited now to meet him because I know him. You see, at first I was excited to go to heaven to escape hell. That's not even in my thinking anymore. I want to be in his presence. I want to behold his face because I understand him and his goodness and his love towards me and all of mankind. What a wonderful Redeemer. Father, as everyone is standing here, Father, I pray if there be anybody in this congregation if they don't know you like we know you, if they've never been born again, never said the sinner's prayer, and would like to come into salvation, Father, Easter Sunday, what a wonderful day for you to draw them in to your kingdom. And Father, maybe they have accepted you at one time, said the sinner's prayer, but have kept out of church, have not fellowshipped with you or those that are of God. Maybe they've had excuses. Maybe they've been hurt. Maybe coming into the kingdom was a torment for them. But Father, whatever the reason that they broke fellowship, whatever that is, Father, they can restore that walk with you, free of mankind, free of the hurts of man. Because peace on earth and goodwill is what God wants towards men. And they can start fresh with the God that they once knew. So if you've been backslid for a long time and would like to restore your walk, then this is the greatest opportunity there is. And if you've never been baptized in the Holy Spirit, we want to give you that opportunity. So, with everybody quiet, if the Spirit of God has dealt with you and you'd like to come forward and let God change your life. You know, a lot of us want to go forward changed first, and that ain't going to happen. It takes time for God to work in your heart and bring salvation out through you. And He is so gracious and merciful to wait for you. Hallelujah. You know what, Jack? Tammy, I want to sing that song again that we quit with. I think that is so appropriate, and give people here a chance to respond. And I don't want you to be ashamed. If you feel that you need to come forward, be that testimony or witness. Let's sing that song. Is that all right? Shoot it up on the wall. And while we're singing, if you feel the Spirit of God speaking to you, come forward. Don't be ashamed. Don't hesitate. Feel free to do it. Oh, I love this song. We have altar ministers here that will minister to you. Let's sing.
Christ alone, my hope is found. He is my light, my strength, my song. This cornerstone, this solid ground, firm through the fiercest drought and storm. What heights of love, what depths of peace, when fears are still, when striving cease. My comforter, my all in all, here in the love of Christ alone, who took on
you feel led to come forward, feel free to do that. Remember, there's no service tonight. So it'll give you a chance to have Easter with your family. I don't know whether that's a good thing or a bad thing, but it can all be good. It can all be good if you choose it. Amen. So with that, you're dismissed. And those of you that were a little antsy about coming up when we're all here, feel free to come up. I'll wait here for you. The rest of you, God bless. Goodbye.